All right. I want you to open your Bibles this morning and find Romans chapter 15. And I'm sitting here waiting for somebody to change a slide, and that's my job this morning. We're continuing our series entitled One Another's. One Another's. And today we're going to talk about sing to one another. Now, I want an honest vote here. I want an honest poll here. How many of you really love to sing? Let me see your hands. You love to sing. All right? How many of you love to sing, but like your pastor, you don't have exactly the greatest voice in the world, but you sing anyway? Okay? How many of you are like me? You're better off when you sing tenor solos. That's 10 or 12 miles away from everybody, and solo, no one can hear you, okay? Well, I want to tell you that today's message, we're going to see what Paul wrote in some of his letters to the churches about singing to one another. Now, the first verse we're going to look at, or the first passage, does not mention singing, but we're going to tie it in with a couple of others, and we're going to see what is the purpose of singing in the church. How many of you have ever wondered that? You've asked yourself that question. Why do we sing in church? Why? What's the reason? Why do we sing in church? Well, if you go all the way back and you study all the way back into the earliest days of the Old Testament, you're going to find that singing and music was an integral part of worship, even for the children of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, once they were settled and David began to prepare for the temple to be built, one of the things he had to do is he had all of these Levites who were not priests, but they were helpers to the priests. They were relatives of the priests. And they no longer had the job of carrying the tabernacle, so he had to give them jobs. And what he did with many of them was he turned them into musicians and choirs. What is the longest book in the Bible? Thank you. Woo, you had me worried there for a minute. And what is Psalms? They're songs. The longest book in the Bible is a song book. So that tells me that God must put a high quality or a high standard on music and singing. So let's find out today why we need to sing to one another. Romans chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Now, we're going to tie that in with singing in just in a few minutes. But let's focus on that for a minute. Paul says, look, I don't care who you are. If you have been a follower of Christ for even a short amount of time, and you have been part of the family of God, you've been part of the local church body, he says, I believe that you have goodness in you. I believe that you have enough competency that you can instruct one another in something. In something. How many of you find it difficult to try to teach somebody how to do something? Do you? Now, I won't ask you why. The few that raise their hands, I think I already have those answers. I think I know you well enough. I know why you say that. But do you realize that if you know how to do anything, any kind of skill, any kind of activity, you have enough wherewithal to be able to instruct one another. But can I tell you that what a lot of people are needing today is they need friends who will instruct them on how to come and have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have memorized countless scriptures. You just need to love Jesus enough that you will love people the way he loves them, and share with them what Jesus has done for you. Now, that's one of the reasons why almost every service I ask if there are those that have a testimony to share. I'll tell you, some of you, I hope and pray that you will get over this shyness that you claim to have, and you will learn that you need to stand up once in a while in the church family and say, God did this for me this week. You know why? Because when you do that, it instructs me, it encourages me, And we're called to do that for one another. Let's face it, Ron, if we don't encourage one another when we're here, who's going to encourage us out there? If we're not going to help and instruct one another on how to get through certain problems in life, who's going to do it when we're out there in the world among people who are not following Christ? Paul says, instruct one another. That doesn't mean that you have to be a great teacher. It just means you have to love somebody enough to show them how to do something. Tell them what they need to do. Boy, wouldn't it be nice, Sister Betty, if every time we had a problem, God would just boom his voice from heaven and tell us what to do? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if every time you started to do something you shouldn't do, God would just go, don't do that. But you know what? God has not chosen to do that for us. God has given us his word, and God has given us one another. Amen? Well, let's go on with this concept. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Boy, there's a message for today. It's not even the main part of what we're looking at. But folks, how many of you need to understand, we were called to live a life of peace, no matter how chaotic the world may become. And I'll tell you right now, this whole coronavirus pandemic and this being shut down and the mask wearing and the you can't go here and you can't go there and your church can only have so many people and there's some states where they're still saying that if you're in church, you can't sing. Boy, today's message certainly goes against that. And I tell you, in the midst of this chaos, the body of Christ needs to be experiencing and living in the knowledge of the peace that God has for us. The word says it is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Let's stop there. We'll finish that verse in a moment. Here Paul takes it one step further. We need not just to instruct and teach one another. He says we are to admonish one another. And that word admonish, we don't use it very often. I mean, how many of you in the last month have had somebody walk up to you and say, I want to admonish you? No? No, it's a word we don't use very often, but we should. It means to warn, to advise, to urge earnestly. Can I tell you that in America today, in our pulpits and in our churches, we don't need more pop psychology. We don't need more feel-good sermons. What we need are men and women of God who are willing to stand up and open the Word of God and admonish the body of Christ. Urge them earnestly to be obedient. Warn them and advise them of what God's Word says is coming so that we will be prepared for it. So Paul says you need to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And here's where we bring in the singing part. Listen to this. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I read that passage I don't know how many times in my life. But it wasn't until I began to put these together and study through these one another's of the Word that suddenly this last week hit me, or the last 2 or 3 weeks as I prepared this, it hit me that Paul ties teaching and admonishing one another together with singing to one another. You like singing, Michael? Are you good at it? Then you just sing your heart out every chance you get, okay? Now see, we look at that and we have become such a society and culture, even in our churches. I know churches that you're not allowed to be part of the worship team unless you audition. And I understand some of those churches are large enough, they have to narrow down how many people are up there. I get that. But can I tell you that you don't have to audition to be part of the church family and sing out to the Lord? One of my favorite scriptures. One of the reasons why I still sing out every once in a while is because the psalmist said we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. How many of you can make noise? Oh, come on, every hand ought to go up. But Paul says, as we teach and admonish one another, we not only do it with our words, we not only do it with our lessons, we not only do it with our sermons, but we do it when we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in just a couple of minutes here, I'm going to share with you exactly what all of those are. Go with me to the last passage we're going to look at before we talk about these. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Paul says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you some things that I've found. Some commentary on these passages that hopefully will kind of educate us. It says, sing to the Lord. It says, spirit-filled people are encouraged to engage in three types of singing. Now, don't share this out loud. And I will ask if the kiddos, if we can kind of keep the toys and all back in the nursery because you're right near the mic and those online are going to have trouble hearing me. Okay? Thank you so much. We're going to change that soon. That microphone will be moved to a better location. How many of you, and you don't share the story with me, because believe me, I've heard a lot of the horror stories. How many of you ever been part of a church where the church had a battle going on about what kind of songs they ought to sing? Anybody? There are churches that have had the battle of, should we sing out of the hymn book or should we sing songs off the wall? And then there were some that got upset and when they got rid of the overhead projector and went to the kind of projection system we're using now. Can I tell you that in all honesty, we need to pray that we will be balanced and that we will offer up to God a variety of music, a variety of genres. He mentions three of them here. First of all, the Psalms refer to those that we find in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. That book has been the primary songbook for God's people all the way back into the Old Testament and all through the New Testament. Many of the so-called new music that we sing in our churches today, a lot of times those songs are nothing more than an old psalm that's upgraded and given a modern tune and the wording is changed so it makes a little more sense to us. Paul then mentions hymns. Hymns were early Christian confessions of faith in God and the message of Christ. Hymns are simply the songs that actually teach what we believe, that express what we believe. I've known some people said, I don't like those old hymns. I want nothing but the new choruses. And I've had others say, well, I only want the new choruses. I don't want the old hymns. Some say, I only want the hymns. I don't want the choruses. How many of you know that when we start going to an extreme on anything, one way or the other, it's not good because we serve a God of balance? How many of you know the difference between a hymn and a modern chorus? Some of you are looking at me like, all right, Pastor, you've got a story or a joke for this. Stories told of old Farmer Brown. Never been to the big city in his whole life, and one day he had reason to travel to the big city, and Mrs. Brown could not go with him. She says, well, when you get home, I want you to tell me all about it. So Farmer Brown visited the big city, and he was taken in by the tall buildings and the skyscrapers. First time he'd ever saw an elevator, he couldn't believe it. You push a button, the doors open, people get on, the doors close. When the doors open again, it's new people. He couldn't believe it. Well, he decided on Sunday he was going to go to church. So he found him a big city church, and he went to it, and he was just amazed. It was nothing like the little country church him and Mrs. Brown attended. Finally, he returned home after a few days, and his wife says, well, tell me all about it. He began to tell her about all he'd experienced. He told her about the church service, and he said, they sing choruses. She says, well, what do you mean choruses? She says, pulled out the hymnbook. She says, we got choruses. We got three verses in the chorus. He says, no, it's not like that at all. They're different to our hymns. She says, well, explain that to me. He says, well, a hymn is kind of like, well, how can I put it? He says, a hymn is like singing, there's a brown cow in the green field. The brown cow's eating green grass. And the chorus is like, there's a cow, there's a cow, there's a cow, there's a brown, brown, brown cow. The brown, brown, brown cow, cow, cow is in the green, green, green field. The brown, brown cow's eating green, green grass. Green, green grass is the cow. There are people that will literally threaten and have left churches because of the music that was being sung. God forbid we ever become that petty. Paul mentions the Psalms, he mentions the hymns, and he mentions spiritual songs. Can I tell you, this morning, our praise team led us in worship with two of the older hymns and then with a couple of songs that would be called spiritual songs or psalms. And they all have their purpose. I believe that we need the older hymns and some of what we call the old hymns because, frankly, they teach us doctrine. They teach us our faith. They teach us what we believe. But then we also need some of the more modern stuff because it is a little more relevant, a little more contemporary, and it leads us into a time of just ecstatic worship and praise of God. Singing is the language of the heart. It's a way that God has given us to express our inner joy, our praise, our worship, our love, our longing, and our thanksgiving to God. All types of singing, both in church and in private, now listen to this, should be primarily directed to God as a way of prayer and praise and worship or sincere request. How many of you know we don't come together and we do not have the praise team come up here and lead you in singing just to make you feel good and to meet your personal preference? You didn't know that? Nobody raised their hand. You didn't know that? We come together to sing to Him. Francis Chan, pastor and author, shared a story that sometime in the very last few years when he was still pastoring, I think his first church, somebody started to leave church that morning and walked by and looked at him and said, you know, pastor, I didn't exactly particularly like worship this morning. He said, well, that's quite all right because we weren't worshiping you to begin with. We need to understand that music is something special that God has given us. And when we come together as the body of Christ, or when you're sitting at home in your personal private devotion time, our singing is not just for us. It's primarily an act of worship unto Him. Amen? Singing can be a means of encouragement. How many of you, when you're feeling down, like to put on some soft music? Or some kind of music. I laugh because my boys, being college age now, they can be working on schoolwork and have music playing loud or a TV show going loud and it doesn't bother them. How many of you were like that when you were a teenager? Yeah, I could do that. Boy, I could play the music I've become my dad to a point because when I was in high school and college doing that, my dad go, how in the world can you concentrate with that noise? And now I'm like, I look at my boys and go, how can you work on that with that TV show on? Well, easy, Dad. It's no problem. I have reached that point and did this several years ago. If I'm going to be reading or studying, I can have music on, but it has to be totally instrumental. If there's any singing going on, guess what? And behold, the Lord said, oh, butterfly, let me sing that song along with the radio, right? Music is God's special gift to us. And God forbid that we ever allow it to become a point of contention in the church. Because Paul says that singing is one of the ways that we encourage, that we teach, that we instruct, and that we admonish one another. Oh, that's why it becomes so vital that when you're in the church service, it doesn't really matter how well you sing. You need to open your mouth and join in. Not because your neighbor is going to enjoy it. Not because the praise team is going to enjoy it. You do it and join in because it's an act of worship unto God. And you say, well, Pastor, some of the songs, I don't know the words yet. Well, I'm going to give you the international word to sing if you don't know the words yet. Everybody ready? I want you to say, la. La. Oh, come on. No, this is not L-A-W. This is L-A. Come on. La. If you don't know the words to the song, just follow along and say, la, 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 la. And God will fill in the words as you do it as an act of worship unto Him. Now, I will say this, for the sake of your neighbor. If you really don't have a very good voice, make your la-las kind of low-low, okay? You ever been in one? It's probably not a fair question to ask. I have been in church services a long time ago. My home church, church I served in many years ago, where you'd always have that one person that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket or a 50-gallon barrel, and they wanted to be the loudest person in the room. Okay? Use some discretion, but open your mouth. Because you're not singing for your neighbor. You're not singing for the pastor. You're not singing for the praise team. You're singing as an act of worship unto Him. Amen. How many of you have never had one bit of music training whatsoever? So you probably don't really understand what it means when we say this song is in the key of G or the key of F or whatever. Okay, if you don't understand that, did you know you can still sing by letter? Yeah, open your mouth and let her fly. Because the one you're singing to, I always imagine, the one you're singing to, he's got a special filter. So even your off-key la-la-las will come to him as a beautiful form of worship if it comes from the heart. Amen? Let us sing to one another. The purpose of singing God's word and hymns and spiritual songs is not entertainment. Now, I believe that we need to have the best possible singers and musicians that we can get leading worship, but we're not up there to entertain. And I remind the praise team of this, not every Sunday that we when we do rehearsal, but quite frequently. We're not up here to entertain. We are up here to lead in worship. Can I tell you, those that are on the praise team, let me talk to you a minute. You need to make sure every Sunday before you come up there to lead in worship, you need to make sure you spend a little time in your prayer closet making sure your heart is right with the Lord. Otherwise, it becomes entertainment. We do not sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs for our personal pleasure. Now, you can get pleasure out of it, but that's not top priority. It's not to display your spirituality or your talent. I will tell you, many years ago, a church where I was not the pastor, I was on staff. There was a husband and wife team that were given the responsibility to be the worship leaders along with the team. In fact, your pastor's wife was part of that team before she was my wife. And the reality of it is this man and woman had incredible talent. In fact, he had been part of a professional gospel quartet at one time. Such talent. And yet it was hard to worship because they would walk in every Sunday and you could tell, you could feel it. You know the old saying, it was so thick you could cut it with a knife? You could feel that all week long they had been having trouble in their marriage and that they had been arguing, and you could feel it. But the minute he stepped up there behind that pulpit to lead and worship and lead music, he'd put on that phony stage smile and he would turn on the charm. Can I tell you, it was hard to worship with that kind of leadership being up there. I would have rather that we'd put somebody up there who couldn't carry a tune and a 50-gallon drum, but had a genuine love of God and a heart that was right with God. Because when we come together and we spend this time singing, it's not to entertain. It's not to show how good we are. It's not to show our spirituality. It is to lead the others into a place of worship before the throne of God. Let us sing to one another. The purpose of singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs is to honor God. It is to praise God. It is to worship God. And I would say, even as you're driving down the highway, traveling, or going to work, or you're sitting in your home, or whatever you may be doing, when you begin to sing, let it not just be singing for the sake of singing. Let it be singing as unto the Lord. Amen. And how many of you know that sometimes we can even honor God with songs that are not necessarily Christian songs? How many of you know there's a lot of good music out there in the world? There's a lot of bad music too. I've heard some songs that were labeled Christian that were just terrible. And I've heard some songs that were not labeled Christian that did just as much to honor God as some of the things we sing in church. Music is God's gift to us. And what a beautiful gift it is. Oh my goodness, music can so affect the emotions. Music can lift us out of the discouragement and the doldrums. The right song at the right time can change our heart and change our mind and bring us to a point where we'll begin to worship God like we've never worshiped before. And it always goes back, every time we talk about these one another's, it always goes back to this. We sing to one another out of our love for Him. And as we focus on loving Him more, the more of His love He can fill us with. And that helps us to fulfill the very first one another we talked about when we began this series. And that is what? Love one another. We're going to end service a little different today. In just a moment, I'm going to have the praise team join me on the platform one more time. And as they do, we're not going to close with a prayer as we normally do. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to join the praise team, and I want to see every mouth moving. Maybe I want to hear every voice. Yes, I want to hear every voice. Because I want you to make this last chorus your prayer to Him. I want you to dedicate it to your loving Heavenly Father and your Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to close in just a moment with the chorus. I sing praises to your name, and make that your prayer of dedication today. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Tech if you'll stop the recording on the main recording. Praise team, will you join me? Now, the rest of you, if you want to stand.